Very familiar scripture. I've preached from it quite a few times probably, but Joshua, the 24th chapter, the 15th verse, if you want to turn there. I'll start with the 14th verse, actually. Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in serenity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, I praise you again this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that I have to be behind this sacred desk this morning. And Lord, to be in this church on this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given us. I pray, Father, that the hearts and the minds that are here this morning, Lord, I pray that we would be opened. And Lord, that the Word and that your Spirit would deal with us in the way that you would have us to be, Lord. I want to give you the praise. I want to give you the glory, for you are the one that so rightly deserves it. And I praise you and ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. I remember whenever I was a kid playing Follow the Leader. Do you remember that? I mean, most of us in here probably played it whenever we were kids. I don't know, you know. I mean, I remember recalling, you know, like you'd be there and the leader would have you to jump over something or roll down or lay down a roll or do whatever it was, something, you know, to do. But and then after a while, you know what, you would, if you stayed there long enough and you did everything, guess what? You got to be the leader sometime. That was part of the game. But you know what? I want to get back to that. Keep that thought in your mind if you follow the leader. That's the title of my sermon this morning. And I know I've been on leadership a lot there the first part of the year there, but I want to get back to it just a little bit today. But this is what I want to talk about. I want to get back to that thought again, like I said here in just a little bit. How many of you know this is Lenten season? You've heard, you know, how many of you know what it's about? Do you know what Lenten season is about? Well, just bear with me a little bit till I get back to the source of my sermon here a little bit. I'm going to explain to you a little bit about Lenten season. Lenten season started on February the 10th, which is known as, do you know what it's known as? You know what Wednesday, February the 10th is known as? That's Ash Wednesday. That's exactly right. And to get into a little bit, you know, Ash Wednesday is where they apply the ashes to the forehead of everybody, the foreheads of those who want to participate. And what they do, they make the sign of a cross, and that's how they do that. And that's what they do. And you know, did you know where the ashes come from? That's exactly right. The palm branches from the previous Palm Sunday. And that's how that they get the ashes to symbolize what they use on Ash Wednesday. They are supposed to symbolize the grief that we have caused, that sin has caused in our lives, and also to symbolize the dust of which God had made us out of. So if you see somebody with that on Ash Wednesday, that's what that is supposed to symbolize. And you know what? Some of the Lenten season is marked by 40 days. There's 46 days, actually, from Ash Wednesday till Easter. But Lenten season is comprised of 40 days. How do we get 40 days? They don't count Sundays. This is what they do. So what they do is, during this time, it's a time of fasting. It's a time of giving up something. Most of the ones up work give up some kind of meat or give up something. And, you know, this is what they fast of. This is what they consider their fast. Maybe their phone, maybe listening to radio, maybe listening to TV. Through all this, what they're building up to is, they're coming up to Easter Sunday is what they're building up to. And this is what the Lenten season and Ash Wednesday. Did most of you know that? I'm sure most of you knew that, but that's what this consists of. Although there's a lot of ritual involved in this, and I know there is. You know what? We can get some good points out of this, and why I say this for is this. Sounds like a good way to grow closer to God, does it not? Does it not sound like a good way to grow closer to God? But you know what? Whether you take part in the Lenten season or not, you know what? And that's just 46 days out of the year is what it consists of. I got a question for you this morning. Shouldn't we be doing that 365 days a year? Would you agree with me on that? I mean, I don't think, to me personally, and I'm not putting anybody down for this, but you know what? For 40 or 46 days, man, that's not near enough to do what my Savior did for me. Shouldn't it be 7 days a week? Shouldn't it be 24 hours a day? 365 days a year. You know what? But as the scripture says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Do you suppose he, whenever he was, this scripture was being said there, that he meant that we could just pick and choose when we wanted to serve the Lord? You get that? Let's just pick a day. Maybe a couple of days. Let's just pick a month, maybe a week, whatever it may be. But Luke 9:23 answers this for us, when how we should serve the Lord. If you go to Luke 9:23, I'll give you a chance to turn there. But I think this is important for us to read this. Man, I love to hear Bibles turning. I really do. I love to hear that. It tells me that you have your Bible, number one. And number two, that you are willing, you're wanting to see what this means. And he said, in Luke 9:20, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, what? Daily. And follow me. When our eyes are open, when we get up in the morning, and when you and I are called to pick up our cross, when our eyes wake in the morning, we are called to follow him daily. That is what we are called to do. Not just when we feel like it. Not just once a year, not just once a month, maybe just once a week. But it says that we are to pick up our cross and we are to follow our Lord and our Savior daily. Amen? That's what he says to do. Yes, there will be times through this Christian walk that he is going to ask us to deny, to have self-denial of ourselves. All right? You know, in our walk, in our Christian walk, there are going to be times when we are going to be asked to, you know what, to be self-denial. Self-denial is a denial of one's own interests and one's own needs. That's what that means. And there are going to be times where we're going to be asked that. Self-sacrifice and selflessness is what that means. Now, I'll tell you this, brothers. So I'm going to get to this. You know what? Then we will be asked to do what? To follow our leader. Amen? We are going to be asked to do that. You know what? What does it show to us? Yes, it's self-denial. What does it show us? It shows us that we'll be a big part of following Jesus if we are part of the self-denial of our own selves. You see, he's not one of those type of leaders that's do as I say, not as I do, because you know why? The Lord that we serve has already been there and done that for you and I. He's already done it. Everything he's asked us to do, he's already been there and done that. He's done it. You know what? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he who has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. That should just really set us on fire right there to know that our Savior, the Lord that we serve, praise God, has already been there and done that to where me and you, we can have no excuse, do we not? We have none. I look at it like this. Suppose you had done, every one of us in here is guilty of death. Did you know that? We are guilty of death before we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts. All of us were guilty of death. We had done the most despicable thing. I don't care what it was. We were guilty of death. We were taken up, being ready to take up to the hangman's galley where we were going to. And no matter what it was, we were guilty. We were guilty of death at that time, and we were getting ready to be hung. And guess what Jesus done? He stepped up, and he said, no, do not hang them. Hang me in their place. You know what? Just think of the most despicable thing that you can think of that's happened out here in this world today. Jesus Christ died for them just as well as me and you. He would step up to that hangman's gallows. He would take and step into their place because he said he became sin for us because he knew no sin. He took our places. Think about that for a moment. How humbling should that be to each and every one of us in here this morning? Hebrews 4:15 tells us, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings and of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet, guess what? Without sin. Without sin. Praise God this morning. He overcome. He overcome. You know what? That tells me that we can overcome also. That tells me, he said, with the temptation, there has been made a way that you and I could escape. You know what happens too many times is we don't take that way of escape. We don't do it. Yes, we need to follow our leader and do as he asked us to do and as he showed us to do. As we all know, today's Valentine's Day. We all know that. Pretty much all of us know that. And you know what? I think about this. We think about Valentine's Day as a day, this one time a year that we show our love, that we show, that we're supposed to show it in cards and flowers, whatever it may be, that we show our love to the one that we truly love. Amen? That's the day that they've picked out a holiday to do that. But guess what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You talk about a gift. You talk about a gift of love to mankind. And guess what? That he gave his only begotten son. Not only on this day, but every day down through the year, we have the opportunity to accept this gift of love into our hearts. If we're willing to accept it. He has died. His son died upon it. God sent his only begotten son to do that. You know what? Why? Because he showed us love. We should have unconditional love because he showed us that we should have unconditional love. John 13:24 tells us this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and ye also love one another. Unconditional love is this. It says, it's caring about happiness of another person without any thought for what we might get for it ourselves. Wow, that's pretty straightforward, is it not? Jesus Christ died upon a cross for you. When Jesus went to that cross, he was thinking of all mankind when he went to, you talk about love. You talk about unfailing, unconditional love. Whenever Jesus Christ went to that cross and died all for all mankind, it says here in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And when he did that, he knew full well there would be those who would reject him. There would be those who would say all manner of hateful things about him, all manner of spiteful things about him. And guess what? They're still doing it today. But he still loves them. He still has love in his heart for those people. And you know what? He said that we should have unconditional love as well. And that is very hard, I understand. But praise God, whenever the love of Jesus come into our life, we should be willing to show that unconditional love to whosoever out there as well. Back then in this very day in which we live, you know what? 2 Peter 3:3 tells us this. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. You know what a scoffer is? It's someone who mocks, ridicules, or scorns someone else's beliefs. Folks, we're living in those days. But Jesus Christ has called us to have unconditional love even during those times. During right now, we are to have unconditional love. Why? Because we are the light. We are the salt of this world. We are the light of this world. We are the ones that, you know what? That no matter what, this world is in darkness, and we're the only way, and we're the only ones that can show them the right way. And the only way to do that is through unconditional love that God has showed us that we should show other people. Amen? There are many people out there like that today that scorn and scorn us and say all manner of things about us because of what we believe. But praise God, you know what? I believe in my heart because Jesus Christ has saved me. I know where I'm going. Amen. And I want to take as many people to go with me as I can go. Whether they say hateful things about me, whether they just try to put down what I say, that makes no difference because you know why? We are serving a God of unconditional love. And we should be that way as well. Do you not believe that this morning? I believe that we should be. Unconditional love. Even on the cross, and I love this scripture, even on the cross, in Luke 23:34, he said this, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they parted his raiment, and they cast lots. You talk about it. You guess what? He told him, he said, I could have called 10,000 angels. But he didn't do it. Why? Because of his love for me and you. Amen. Because of the love he had for us. He knew that he had to go the distance. He had to do what he had to do. We need to follow our leader. Amen. It makes no difference whether we think that they're worthy of our forgiveness. What we think is inconsequential. What we think shouldn't even matter. It's whether or not, you know what he said, salvation is free to all men. It's not whether we think that someone should be worthy of our forgiveness. How ignorant of us. How you know, because God has done, look what God has, look what Jesus has done. What if Jesus would have thought that way? What if Jesus would have thought that way about us? I could imagine what he'd have thought about me. I'm just quite honest with you. You know what? My life is filled with sin as it was. And him looking down, he said, "Well, boy, Dave's not worthy of my forgiveness." What about you this morning? Look inside your own heart here this morning. Think about what Jesus has brought you out of here this morning. Do you believe that maybe, that you know what, you thank Jesus for doing the work that he did upon the cross? Do you think, what if he would have said, "Well, you're not worthy," or "You're not worthy"? He didn't do that. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I thank God that he sent his son to die, that every one of us in this building this morning could have salvation and could have it free and clear. Amen. We could do that. We're to follow our leader. Unconditional love is a must. You agree with me on that? Unconditional love is a must. We must be imitators of Jesus. We must imitate the leader that we should be following, and that is Jesus Christ. We should be imitators of, just like in the game of follow the leader. Whatsoever the leader did, we to stay in a game, that's what we had to do. Amen? The measure of our commitment to him. I praise God. You know what? The measure of that commitment should be whether or not, you know, it should be how we follow Jesus. That should be the way it is. And how well we follow him. We must be men and women of faith also. Do you agree with me on that here this morning? Hebrews 11:16, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know what faith does? Faith sees victory. You know what doubt sees? Doubt sees nothing but defeat. That's what doubt sees. Faith brings a good report. Do you know what doubt brings? Doubt brings all manner of false reports and false lies and false accusations. That's what doubt brings. Faith sees through the eyes of God. You know what doubt looks through? It looks through the eyes of this world. It looks through the eyes of Satan. That's what doubt looks through. I'll tell you something else. Faith says that I'd like to introduce you to God. You know what doubt does? Doubt keeps you back saying, "I don't know that I can talk to that individual. I don't know that I can share my faith." That's what doubt does to us. But if we look at it through God, we want to share our faith with whoever we can. That's what faith has us to do. And faith brings vision. Faith will bring vision into being. I've said this before, but you know what? Without vision, the people will perish. We all need to have vision, whether it's in our families, whether it's in this church, wherever it may be. We all need to, with faith, we can have a vision. But with doubt, we have no vision. We have no way to go out there into the world to see and let the church grow and become what God wants it to be. As followers of Jesus, we must have faith. You know what? Faith to know he knows what's best concerning every individual in here this morning. That's what faith does. He knows what's best. And stay true to his plan. We need to stay true to his plan, no matter what direction maybe he's taking us. In the game of follow the leader, you must mimic the leader. Am I right? You must mimic him. No matter how silly, how senseless, how you thought it was, you mimicked him. You followed him. Folks, there are times when we walk down this path of serving Jesus, you know what? Things are going to seem senseless. They're going to seem silly, and they're going to seem downright puzzling, and sometimes they're going to seem scary to us, are they not? As we follow and do what the Lord has us to do. But through faith, we continue to follow our leader, do we not? We should try to continue to follow him, our Savior Jesus. It will make sense in the end. I believe that. There's a song, you know, that tells us, you know what? Farther along, we will know all about it. One of these days, the answers will be there for us. Why this happened this way? Why it happened that way? You know what? I am not wise enough, or God has not given me the intelligence, neither has you, to know why God sends us down the path we go down sometimes. But I tell you what, at the end of it, I believe that we are going to be standing there, and all these things will be explained, and I believe that we'll see, "Oh, that's why you did it that way. That's why it's that way. That's exactly why it is. It will make sense. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We must remember, Jesus was driven into the wilderness. Remember that over Mark? Whenever he was driven into the wilderness, and you know what? Whenever he was driven there, he was tempted. For 40 days he was tempted. But you know what? Guess what? He came out of it. And there are going to be times in our walk that we are going to be driven into the wilderness, whatever, for whatever reasons. And praise God, you know what? We can come through it. We can come through the temptations. We can come through the trials when we're driven there if we keep our hands in Jesus' hand, if we follow the leader. We can do that. Mark makes it clear that Satan is there, the temptation is there, and as strange as it might sound, that God's Spirit would drive Jesus into the wilderness, there are going to be times when we will be that same way too. Listen, John 14:6 said, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Even if you choose to play the game of follow the leader, we might later choose, you know what? Guess what? To wander on our own direction. And you know what the Bible says about that? Luke 9:62. It says, you know what? And Jesus said unto him, no man having his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We're part of the game only if we choose to participate. It said Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. We could successfully complete the game also. But you know what? Revelation 12:11 tells us how. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. You know what? We can overcome. We can overcome it. We can get through. We can go through clear to the end. Through to the end. If we finish with the blood of Jesus Christ, and if we continue to testify what Jesus Christ has done for us one day. You know what? Our mission is? Our mission is to make disciples of people. That's what our leader wants us to do. He wants us to make disciples of people. He wants us to get as many people with us, take as many people with us to heaven as we can. And praise God this morning. You know what? I want to follow my leader. How about you? I want to be that one. I want to be the one that, you know what? That Jesus Christ Himself is my leader. I hope and pray that, you know what, as you're here this morning, that you take this to heart today and listen. Listen to me. We need to follow our leader. We need to follow him the way he wants us to do it. If they come and get a song this morning, I'm done.